Our key verses are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All of us probably know those verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Those are good verses. And so that's what we need to concentrate on this morning, along with other verses that we'll be reading and going through. At the end of the lesson today, we should be sure that we're trusting in the Lord. And then we need to determine to fully rely on the Lord for everything we have need of. And then thirdly, we need to choose to acknowledge God every day. Acknowledge everything we do. We ought to thank God for His blessings to us and so forth. Now, the overview is in your book, and I'll read that. We like to live as if our lives figured out, but we don't. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring, so our thoughts frighten us sometimes. And we do have a relationship with the all-knowing God. And it says in here, the God of the universe, because He created everything. And He knows all about the future, and He does things for the future. He's told us clearly in His Word what steps we should take as we maneuver through life. You know, it's interesting sometimes we make plans to do something at a certain period in our lives. And we work towards those plans, and then sometimes something happens and we don't get to carry out our plans. And so we don't always understand why. I suppose that's one of the most used words in all the dictionary. Why? Start out when you're just little. Why? You know, I used to say that a lot when I was a teenager, because I ran around with my best buddies, and a couple of those fellas, their folks let them stay out all night if they wanted to, and I didn't get to. And I know that that was why, the reason I said why so much, because I wanted to go and stay out at night too, and they were just going to camp out in the woods. Now, I remember one time back when our kids were becoming teenagers, I guess it was Mark and his crew. Anyway, they were going out to the woods, and they were going to have a great time, and they were going to spend the night in the woods, and they were going to do all kind of stuff. I got up during the middle of the night, I heard some racket. And all those guys that left the house and went to the woods were laying in our den on the floor. And they saw bears. They saw everything you could think of. They heard them all. And they hurried up and got back home. Now, I don't know if there's any of them there or not. They just thought there were. And they were scared to death. So they were all in our den floor, laying in the floor. And so, you know, sometimes things don't work out the way we think that they should for us. But God is in charge. And be sure He will find us out. And be sure He will be with us. As we think about some of these things, the lesson goals, be sure we trust in the Lord, determine to fully trust in the Lord, and choose to know, acknowledge the Lord. Then what we need to do is really realize what God wants us to do. In the overview, it says we like to live as if our lives are figured out, but we don't always understand anything that happens to us. And so as we think about it, we just need to remember that God's on the throne, and one of these days, if we're saved, we're going to be in the portals of glory, and there won't be any question mark about anything that we do. So we need to be sure, determined, and choose to acknowledge everything that God would have us to do and to be. Here in our lesson, let me get it turned over here to the page I want. And there's an illustration about Joseph in the Bible, and it talks about Joseph being in prison for several years, and wonder what he thought about it. You know, he was not guilty of anything, but he was put down in the pit, and then he was taken in and put into prison, and because they wanted to get rid of Joseph, the men did. And so even though the Bible doesn't record what Joseph wondered about when his trial was going to end, Joseph, however, was a man who trusted God. You know, there's a lot of times we get into situations, and if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, we don't have to figure things out. We just need to allow ourselves to acknowledge the Lord in our life. Joseph was a man who trusted God. It would have been easy for him to quit, but he did his best to find favor with those around him. And so he became an example of the believer, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. So we need to put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. You know, most of the time, we're complainers. We complain about things that happen in our lives, and we always want to know why, as I said a moment ago. But we must think about decisions that need to be made if we were in Joseph's shoes. And so we live our lives not knowing what tomorrow brings, but we know who brings tomorrow. That's the most wonderful thing about it all. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, sometimes it seems like we've been forsaken. And it could be a friend that's forsaken us, and we think that God has done something wrong with us. But as Christians, we don't have to fear. We do not have to fear anything as long as we're following the Lord and His precepts for our lives. Although God will not show us what steps to take, we can again look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So the first thing we need to talk about, if you have the book there, is trust. We need to trust. The word trust is almost a simile to the word faith and believe. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. All means basically the same thing in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. They all have the same core meaning. Trusting, having faith, and believing. If we don't believe, then we can't trust. And if we don't have faith, we can't trust. And if we don't have trust, we can't have faith and believe. So those things go together in our lives. And so we need to stop and realize that where we're at and what we're doing and who is our God. When the Bible speaks of trust, it implies the following. It implies, first of all, to be persuaded. That's number A in your booklet there. To be persuaded. That's trusting. Be persuaded. And we ought to be able to be persuaded by the Lord. We read the Word of God and we can believe what it says. The Word of God has no errors. And now there are people who sometimes try to take things out of the Bible and add things to the Bible, and those things don't count. But when we take the Word of God and we believe everything it says, it's for our benefit. So we need to trust in the Lord and be persuaded. It means to move ourselves to action. To move ourselves to action. Remember, God is good. God is love. And God is sovereign. In other words, He's in charge. He covers everything. He's everything. he claims to be. There's nothing imperfect about God, and everything perfect about God, and we're thankful for that. Many things happen in our lives that are allowed by God. Sometimes things come upon us and happen to us. Just God allows it to happen. But we have to put our trust in the Lord. Many times we have to get on our knees and ask God why, or ask God to be with us and to never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would not do that. If we're going through a trial, it always ends in God's plan for our life. God has a plan. Sometimes we try to make our own plans. We try to say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is when I'm going to do it, and so forth. Well, really, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. And our life is a life of paths. We go down this way and that way and the other way, and we go to bed, we get up in the morning, and all the things that happen to us. We go to work and we do certain things, and sometimes people will get a good job and they'll be promised that they're going to work on this table over here, or they're going to work with this person over here. And sometimes the boss will come along and say, you know, I've got to make some changes, and this is what you're going to do. So wear your old clothes tomorrow, you know, or whatever the case might be. And then we wonder why the Lord allowed us to have that good job, and then all of a sudden we're doing something different. Well, if you're getting paid, just do something different. But the God is always there with us. So we can go through trials and tribulations, but God never will leave us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember, God is good. God is good. God is wise. And God is perfect. So one of these days, we're going to be in His presence, and we won't have to worry about humanity as far as them making decisions. Young people sometimes, they'll be going along and they'll be doing just right, and they'll meet some bully or some person who wants to get in trouble all the time, and they become a friend, and then they get in trouble all the time. And it's not a good thing to do, but we need to depend on the Lord. And so the same thing happens with adults. We just completely trust in Him. God is good and wise and perfect. And then we need to realize that we need to be obedient. If we're convinced that God's ways are the best ways, it ought to lead us into obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, the Bible said. So we need to remember that we need to obey the Lord with all of our heart. Obedience to Christ proves that we trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So we need to be obedient. Just as a child needs to be obedient to their parents, just as a parent needs to be obedient to their parents if they're still living. If we're, you know, when we were younger and so forth and so on, now we're fitting in the older part, me and Vera are. Now, she's not, but I am. And so anyway, she's still young and just gets around like, you know, anyhow. But I'm getting old, so I have to remember that one of these, someday down the road, when I was a younger person, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get old too. And so I am. But nonetheless, we need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. Now, truly, a lot of times we trust in friends. But you know, we can always trust in the Lord. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to look on a page here that I've got, on page 227 in this manual. And I want to read something here. To be obedient. If we're convinced that God's ways are the best ways, then we should it ought to naturally lead us to obedience. And why would we choose to reject what we truly believe is best for us? And here's an illustration. As missionaries come through a church or a church projects or church projects arise, the Lord may lay it on your heart to give a certain amount. He may even ask you to increase what you are given on a weekly basis. If you truly do believe that the Lord will bless you, even if you give what seems too much, you will give what He lays on your heart, and you will give what He lays on your heart. After receiving directions from the Lord and you obey His speaking to your heart about what you're going to give or what you're going to do, we shouldn't say, "Well, Lord, I know better than you do." The Lord knows better than we do, and we need to just follow His direction. So true trust is always backed up by obedience to the Lord. Obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And so we need to realize that. We can't justly say that we trust in God if we don't obey God. So we need to obey the Lord with all of our hearts. There's an illustration here in this particular lesson. We all know the hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." But that was inspired by the simple testimony of a young Christian. During a revival meeting in Brockton, Massachusetts, this man stood to his feet and shared that he was not sure about everything God wanted him to do, but he knew that whatsoever it was, he was going to do it. He said, "I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey." And that happened years ago. And that's what spurred someone on to write the song, "Trust and Obey." The words stirred the heart of a song leader. His name was Daniel B. Towner. And Towner then shared these words with his friend John Samus. And John Samus was someone who knew what it meant to trust and obey. At an early age, he entered the business world, eventually was on staff at a YMCA back in the days when it was a real good thing to have, and hopefully maybe it is even today. I don't know. I haven't been to one in a long time. But after entering the career field of the YMCA, he felt the Lord was tugging at his heart to go into the ministry, and he chose to trust and obey the Lord by choosing to preach, leaving the business behind. After hearing the testimony of this young Christian, John Samus took these words, "I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey." And he used those words to write the lyrics to the song, the hymn, "Trust and Obey." And after choosing God's call over his own plans, he learned that it's always better to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So that's a wonderful example of how that song got written, and so on. And it's a good song. It's a good Christian song. And then we also see that we need to be willing. We need to be willing to do what God. The first point was entrusting was to be persuaded, and the second one was to be obedient. If we're convinced that God's ways are the best, then we need to be obedient to Him. Obedience to Christ proves that we truly love the Lord. And then the third thing is, we need to be willing. We need to be willing. When we desperately want to win, our will fights against the Spirit. We must trust in the Lord for our will to be broken. Our will needs to be conformed to God's will. Our will, God's will. And God's will is always perfect. And God's will is always what He wants for us. And so we need to say, "Lord, I'll do what You want me to do." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then I want to read these verses, and they're kind of long. It's on page 110 in your book, if you're using the regular book. And I want to read these verses. Joshua 6, beginning in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And all the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord encompassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasure of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So that's some lessons that we needed to read and to learn and so on. Because, and of course, then at this point in Israel's history, Israel had seen God do a lot of great things. And God had miraculously brought them out of Egypt and allowed them to cross the Red Sea. So God was good to them. They didn't have a Bible to open and follow its instructions like we have today. But God told Joshua and the children of Israel to take a step of faith. And they were willing to take it. And they faced Jericho. And as they faced Jericho, it was probably the toughest battle that they ever had to face. But God told them what to do and how to do it, and God won. The Lord won. And so, what if, as we're marching, the people of Jericho kill us, is what they said. What if the people of Jericho use these 7 days to get a head start on us? But they were willing to do what God asked of them, and God, they trusted in the Lord, and the walls came down. The walls came tumbling down. And so we don't have to have fear and pain and so forth. And we need to be willing to do what God asks us to do. Sometimes we question the Lord. Lord, why would you want me to go here? Why would you want me to go there? Why would you want me to do this? Or why would you want me to do that? Well, if it's in the Bible and we read it and it tells us what we ought to do, we ought to follow in His precepts. And so if we want to see the walls come down in our life, the walls of fear and pain and sin, then we need to be willing to do whatever God asks us to do. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so point number two is to lean. Lean. Or to rely. Or to rest. Those are some key words that we need to find out. One of the most dangerous places to be in is a place where we rely on our own self and not rely on God. We need to depend on the Lord and so on. And so let me find my place again in my notes now, because I was reading the book there. Let me find it. Okay, we need to lean on the Lord, rely on the Lord. And it's kind of like if I went over there and leaned against the wall. I was dependent on that wall. And, you know, sometimes we want to lean and fall down. But we need to lean and stand up. And we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Again, we need to rely on the Lord. To rely on our own understanding is dangerous, but to rely on God's understanding is miraculous. We must desire to know God and completely trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then we need to rest on the Lord. Rest on the Lord. You know, as we think about resting on the Lord, we're thinking about taking a nap, or we're thinking about being lazy, we're thinking about just taking it easy. But we'll be amazed at the peace God gives us. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's a verse we all ought to learn. Isaiah 26:3. You might want to jot that down. But when we do that, He will be with us. When we completely trust in the Lord, we don't have any reason to worry about anything. You ever heard anybody call it a worry wart? Well, there's some people that are worry warts. They worry about everything. And we don't have to worry about everything. Trust in the Lord. And so we do need to trust in the Lord. We don't always have the answers. We don't always understand about everything that we come into contact with. When we completely trust in the Lord, we don't have to worry about anything. We're trusting in the Lord, the God of the universe, the God that spoke this world into existence. He has a perfect plan. A perfect plan for our life. You know, as we think about that, sometimes we want to be perfect. We want everything to go just exactly right. We want to buy the perfect car. We want to buy the perfect house. We want to have the perfect job. And whatever else there is in our life, we want it to all be perfect. But as long as we're down here on this earth, it's not going to be perfect. We'll have some perfect examples and times from time to time, but God has a plan for us in our lives, and it will be, if it's God's plan for us, it's a perfect plan. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," and regardless of the circumstances. You know, that word is a word that just worries us to death. Circumstances. And sometimes we have circumstances. I remember one time we were, Vera and I were going somewhere and we missed a road. And so I had to drive a long way to turn around and come back and to realize that I could have got on the other side of the road and went the other way or something. I don't remember that exactly now, but there were circumstances that took a while. And anyway, but circumstances sometimes enter our lives. That's because we're still down here on Mother Earth. But one of these days we'll be in heaven with the Lord, and we don't have to worry about circumstances anymore. But God has a perfect plan for our existence and for our lives, and our circumstances and so forth are not going to hurt us when we get to heaven. When we trust in the Lord, we find rest and perfect peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so then we need to acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge Him. The word means to perceive or to recognize. We need to recognize the Lord. And you know, as we recognize what God would have us to do, how do we recognize what God wants us to do? We read it in His book. We hear it from the pulpit. We acknowledge it in our prayer life. We talk to the Lord in our prayers. It's a wonderful thing when we recognize God in all we do. And the Bible said He will direct our steps or our paths. God will direct us. Sometimes we say, oh, He don't have time for me. God's got time for everyone. If you're His child, and sometimes, you know, I'm His child, but I'm 80 years old. That's an old child, isn't it? But you look, go back and look in the Old Testament and see how old some of them people were. But you know, all it means is we belong to Him forever and ever and ever. We're going to be His child for eternity. I can't even comprehend eternity. It's forever and ever. It's never going to stop. Eternity's never going to quit. When we get in the very presence of Almighty God, it's going to be forever and ever and ever. Say, that's a long time. Well, the word long don't even have to be in there anymore. It's just time. Time will be no more. It'll just be with God and everything. And that's a wonderful thing. Here are three steps to acknowledge God. Number one, we need to acknowledge God through praying or through prayer. Remember, prayer is not limited to a specific time and place. God is always available. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. If I can find it here. Jeremiah 33:3. Well, let me see.
Call unto me.
Yeah, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. All right, I didn't need it. It written down, I turned the page wrong. But anyway, as we go through our daily life, let's pray constantly. Let's be in the attitude of prayer. We don't always have to have our eyes closed to pray. And I've got in parentheses, especially when you're driving down the road. I added that in there. They didn't put that in the book. I put it in the book. I'm pretty proud of myself. But We shouldn't drive down the road and close our eyes and say, now, Heavenly Father, you know, you might be with Him if you want to be with Him bad enough. But nonetheless, we need to pray constantly. That doesn't mean every moment of every day, but we need to be in an attitude of prayer at all times. Prayer changes things, but prayer changes people and situations as well. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This verse teaches us to be in constant state of prayer. That means having constant communion with God. So when we pray, we're talking to our Heavenly Father. I want to read an illustration, and it'll just be, we're nearly through. But here's an illustration. One of the most influential prayer warriors of all time was George Mueller, who was famous for the orphanages he ran in England. Over his lifetime, he cared for over 10,000 orphans. To someone who did not believe in God, it could have seemed that George Mueller's means of caring for orphans was unreliable. He did not even have enough money to buy everything the orphans needed. He didn't ask for funding. He relied solely on prayer. As he faithfully prayed for needs to be met, God faithfully supplied every need. On one particular occasion, the children at one of the orphanages came to the breakfast table ready for their meal, just as they did every morning. What they did not know was that there was nothing for them to eat. Mueller had the children pray for the Lord to bless their food, though he himself did not know how it would come about. Shortly after they prayed, a baker stopped by and offered free loaves. Then a milk wagon broke down right outside the orphanage and gave all the milk to the orphanage. The Lord had provided all the bread and milk the children needed for that day. May we, like Mueller, take our cares to the Lord in prayer. May we come from the Lord in faith, come before the Lord in faith, believing that we are praying to Almighty God of the universe, the same God that George Mueller saw perform innumerable miracles, and the same God we pray to today. In Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There is not anything too hard for the Lord. So we ought to also have this step of praise. We don't only acknowledge God through prayer, but we acknowledge Him through praise. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, which he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And I'll not read because of the time, but the next point is Psalm 23, "Trust in the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We all know that, and so we need to remember that God is our shepherd. In Philippians, Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And then in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so we need to acknowledge the Lord by giving Him praise, the praise He deserves. And after all, God has done so much for us, we need to praise Him for it. We need to thank Him for it. We need to trust Him in every single thing. And then there's another area that we need to cover, and we'll hurry up and get this done. We need to trust in the Lord, acknowledge the Lord through preaching, through the preaching of the Word of God. God intended for it to be that way. That's why we come to church, so we can hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we can have the teaching of the Word of God. So let me just close by this. As we apply the words trust, lean, acknowledge, we'll be amazed to see how God guides us and directs our steps. He'll take us to places we never thought we could go. He'll bring us to people we never thought we'd meet. He'll give us to opportunities that we never thought we would have. Trust in the Lord. He's perfect. He always was, He always is, and He always will be. Lean on Him. Rest on His strength. Be content with His plans. You will be amazed at the comfort and peace you find as you lean in the arms of the Heavenly Father. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your paths. Constantly communicate with Him through prayer. Praise Him, and then preach the Word of God. The final transforming truth is a comforting one. God's plans are bigger than and better than ours. Our plans are based on limited knowledge. His plans are based on infinite knowledge. Our plans are based on imperfect strength. His plans are based on almighty strength. Everything God has planned for us is far greater than we could ever dream. And if we trust in Him and lean on Him and acknowledge Him, He will fulfill those plans in our lives. And so it's a wonderful thing to think about all of these things. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Word of God and how we're able to understand it and believe it and trust it now. And give us a good service now in Jesus' name. Amen.